Welcome back. This is Jesse, creator and host of Hack My Business. Thanks so much for listening and supporting the show. As we get ready for season 6, which will be coming out later this spring, we thought that we would spend the next few weeks on a special bonus series. We will be revisiting some of our favorite episodes with some amazing women CEOs. There has been an incredible rise in the number of first-time women business owners, and we want to make sure that you get a chance to hear directly from founders who have been there and done that with their own businesses. I hope you enjoy it, and let us know if you have any ideas for future episodes by reaching me at jesse@smallbusinessfront.com. Thanks again for listening.
The strategy for me was to still keep in touch with my clients through Instagram. Instagram Live, IGTV, those are the platforms that definitely helped me strategize what it was to keep everyone still connected within our community of clients, guests, people we've worked with. That was keeping our community of guests.
It's no secret that the coronavirus is affecting all of us as individuals. But the effect it's having on business, especially small business, is unprecedented. We need a game plan, and fast. If we're going to survive this, we need resources and we need each other. We can't do it alone. I'm Jesse Torres, and this is Hack My Business. With my background in economic and workforce development, disaster preparedness, and general business strategy, I know I can help you navigate this scary time in your business and beyond. It's all about resiliency. I'll have the most current solutions and best practices available so we can ensure your business not only survives this crisis, but thrives once we start moving forward again. Co-hosting with me will be my colleague, Sid Varakara, principal of 10 Page Memo. We'll have invited experts to help us navigate through the current noisy landscape of resources and programs that are being made available today and who will be able to prepare us for tomorrow. Let's do this together. I'm Jesse Torres, and this is Hack My Business.
You're listening to Hack My Business in partnership with Avant House Media. Make sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and be sure to like and leave us a review of your thoughts on the show.
Welcome to Hack My Business, a podcast designed to help you, the entrepreneur, hack to success by giving you the best tools, tips, and access to experts that can help you to launch and grow your business. My name is Jesse Torres, creator of Hack My Business, and I'm joined by my co-host Sid Varakara, Senior Vice President for Strategies 360. Sid, how's it going today?
Hi, Jesse. I'm feeling pretty frazzled, as a matter of fact.
What's going on?
You know, it's a good thing to be frazzled and stressed because it means we have clients and we're just kind of like being busy. But it's funny because like I really try to like, you know, maintain some sort of balance during the day, being really busy, but also just staying calm through it all. And today, for some reason, it just wasn't working for me. Have you had those days?
Oh, yeah. Like every day, you know, but I gotta say, you know, I always look forward to our podcast sessions because it definitely is a change up in the day. And it's always good to talk to you, my friend, because I know you're always, at least I know that you're going through the same thing that I am. So it's good to be chatting with you.
Same here, pal.
Awesome. Well, I'm excited to be welcoming today's guest, Sherry Young, owner and operator of the Art Form Studio, to today's show. The Art Form Studio is a hybrid hair salon and record store located in the historic LA neighborhood of Highland Park, where they relocated a few years ago after spending a decade in downtown LA Arts District. At Art Form Studio, Sherry handles the haircutting and the makeup side of the house, while her husband, Adrian, who's a well-known music producer here in LA, he manages their record boutique, which features thousands of rare vinyl and books right there in the same facility. Sherry has been working to perfect her craft of hair and makeup artistry for over 20 years now, and she learned about the art of hair through the Foundation of Haircutting courses at Vidal Sassoon in LA, a creative and haircut and hair color technique course at Redken in New York, and then further her training at Carlton Hair International. She's also worked at many different upscale salons throughout LA County before starting Art Form. So I'm excited to have her on the show, one, because she and I share a similar history in that my family actually owned a hair salon. So I feel like I've been in the world of hair for a significant part of my life. So I'm excited to talk about that. But we're going to chat with her about the ins and outs of running a popular hair salon and a community space like Art Form Studio. We'll talk a little bit about what it's like to work with her husband and manage the business. Definitely her challenges in regards to COVID-19 and how does she strategize around the reopening. And then also some interesting conversation around gentrification, which is a big issue right now in Highland Park. And then just also just as you and I were just chatting, you know, how to stay motivated in these really kind of turbulent times. So Sherry, it's great to have you with us. Welcome to Hack My Business.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Sherry, this is Sid. I just have to first say to you that I'm so glad we're not doing this by video, because then you would just, all you would do is critique how horrible my hair looks after 4 months of being in self-quarantine.
Oh man. I mean, that's the beauty of it right now, because quarantine is making everyone grow their hair out right now and everything's healthy. And yeah, it's making everyone look so different. And, you know, you kind of feel disheveled, but now that I started opening up, it helps with everyone's mental state and self-care right now that everybody needs. I'm happy to be open, but of course there's so many other issues that are surrounded by reopening. But I am happy to be open to see the community of people that we've grown together over the past 15 years of opening up our business.
I bet. Well, you know, one thing we like to do before we kick off any show is talk about a hack that you use for your own business life. You know, something that can help others in regards to productivity or efficiency. So really curious, you know, do you have a personal business hack that you like to recommend?
You know, I do this, and I do this with my team and my family. I have 5 points of priority that I share with everybody. And for me personally, I go through, my 5 points are health, love, finance, organize, and clean. Health meaning, what am I doing every morning? Like working out, eating right, drinking enough water through the day. Love would be loving myself. And if I love myself, I know I could love others. Finance, like I go through all these 5 points like in the morning, so I can make sure I have like a checklist that I go throughout my day for productivity. Finance would be like bills and budget and how I can, you know, grow financially. Organize is organizing pretty much what my day goes through with clients, my kids, my family, and what I want to do for other events that Art Form Studio is involved with. And then cleaning. Once I organize everything around me, I need to clean it all up. So that kind of is helpful with COVID right now too. So those are my 5 points of priority. I try to tell everyone, like, if you have these strong 5 points of priority when you wake up in the morning, have your 5 points of priority on your checklist, so that way you can keep it in mind so you can move on throughout your day.
That is amazing. Sid, are you as organized as Sherry is?
I was just going to ask Sherry if she could be my personal coach, please.
You know, when you sit in my chair, that's who I am, really, is people's personal coaches, when not just hair care. It's just really like overall discussions, not just about hair, but it's really more than just hair when you're sitting in my chair, at least, or even stepping into the Art Form Studio. It's definitely an experience when you do walk into the Art Form Studio. It's like you walk into like a time capsule. A lot of things in there is like, we have our record store. My husband collects a whole bunch of records, artifacts, historic artifacts. I collect historic hair artifacts that people don't really use anymore. So it's pretty interesting how you say that, because that's what a lot of people think I am, sort of their therapist per se.
That is awesome. Sid, how about you? What's your best business hack for today?
It's hard to compete with that, Jesse.
Anyway, no, it's...
She had 5 points. She articulated them in a way that everybody could understand and actually like live by. It was brilliant.
It is kind of hard. I was going to say the same thing, because I was going to recommend a tech tool. And I'm like, oh, no. It sounds so lame compared to.
Can we just move on, Jesse?
Let's just move on. You're right. You go, Sid.
Yeah, with the next Sherry, yeah. That was so wonderful. And thank you for sharing that with us today. This is such a wonderful way to segue to this question, but I'd love for you just to share your personal journey with us. What led you to start Art Form Studio?
My parents were immigrants from the Philippines, and they're business owners themselves. My mom, actually, I thought I was going to go into pharmacy like my mother, but she did see that I was more interested in doing hair and styling. And she was the one that encouraged me to go into this route. So she said, if you do this, I encourage you to start your own business, and under one condition. She had said that I'd have to go to business school for her to support me and help me finance the start of my business. And so with the Art Form Studio, going into business with my husband was definitely something that we both worked together on. It was really good to feel that I had a lot of support. Both of us had a lot of support into opening up the Art Form Studio, which was only a hair salon at first. but did have a lot of emphasis on music and art.
How did you guys decide to meld in those, you know, music and the idea of that kind of community space? How did you guys arrive at that concept?
You know, the concept, it's funny, the way I met my husband was at one of his club parties. It's more like a dance, hip-hop community dance parties where there was no dress code. There was just a bunch of DJs that knew how to mix really good music of hip-hop, house, R&B, soul music. And so when he was doing a documentary on dance, there was this question about he did a documentary on dance. And so he asked this dancer, what is dance to you? And he said, it's an art form. And that word stuck to me. And that's how I named the Art Form Studio, because of how we implemented different types of art between music and styling together. And that's how we kind of came up with this type of concept, where it originally meeting in a place where there is a community of dancers and who appreciate art, the art of dance, the art of style. That's how we kind of brought our careers together to create Art Form Studio.
That's amazing. And how do you, you know, my wife and I, we're both working out of the home right now. We don't work for the same company. She has her own firm. We can barely handle each other being in the same office all day long. So how do you guys manage that? You know, how does that work for you? Is it, you know, do you bring the work home, you know, or are you guys seeing each other 24/7? How do you guys manage that kind of relationship?
We see a lot of each other because, I mean, his music studio is behind the Art Form Studio. So, I mean, he kind of has his cave there. And I have my space in the front. You know, he does have other people working with us. We also have a business partner, Andrew Lajero, that helps us with our events, our community events and book signings. He has his huge bookshelf, great, great curated books, and my husband's record store. So we have a really good business relationship. I think that's really strong, and the way we just work. I think we both have different ideas sometimes, but as long as we have like a good meeting of the minds of why we are wanting to go in a certain direction, we have to be able to explain it. A lot of times I'm very emotional and very fiery, so I tend to like, okay, I'm learning to control my emotions at times. But I mean, I think through COVID, the pandemic and everything that's going on, it really helped me self-reflect on what really means the most to me and how we want to continue to run our business, because it really is just more like a day-to-day kind of process for us now. And that, you know, we do need some time apart. So he does on and off go into his studio and just kind of focus on what he needs to focus. And we come together with our team just like at least once a week to like go over everything.
I know I'm going to need to have a separate conversation with him, because in doing background on both you guys in Art Form Studio, I saw that he's connected to Alisha Hi Muhammad from Tribe Called Quest.
Yes.
And Tribe Called Quest is one of my favorite bands of all time. Like, just I love that band. So I'll need to have a whole separate conversation with him, just so you know, Sherry.
Definitely. Yeah, they're both amazing, amazing artists.
That's amazing. But Sherry, I'd love to like just kind of like pick up on something you just were talking about, and that's really just about COVID. These are just such uncertain times for everybody. And hair salons, just like other highly interactive industries, restaurants, fitness studios, seriously have been impacted by the virus. What was the shutdown like for you? And I'd love to know about your strategies around reopening, but you know, there's uncertainty even today about which businesses can remain open as we start seeing like spikes in this first wave of COVID. Let's talk about all of those things. And maybe you could just like talk about individually what it was like, and then how you're trying to like reassess the business strategy in these uncertain times.
Oh, it's definitely difficult for our industry, in the hair and makeup industry. I mean, even makeup artists can't really do makeup on faces right now. It's really difficult to say one that can even be a service that can be provided. For hair, because it's such a high risk business, we have a whole 6-page protocol that we have to go through, which is definitely, it was hard in the beginning, but it's the strategy for me was to still keep in touch with my clients through Instagram Live, Instagram, like IGTV. Those are the platforms that definitely helped me strategize what it was to keep everyone still connected within our community of clients, guests, people we've worked with. That was probably, it was just really hard because we did share, okay, what are we going to do? How are we going to apply for loans? Are we going to, what are we going to do? I mean, I had brides that wanted me to do their hair and I just couldn't do it. I just didn't feel safe. And that was really tough because they wanted someone to do their hair at that time. And it was just too risky. And I had to say, I'm sorry. No, but I can help. I can teach someone to do your hair if you're okay with that. So I would go on Zoom. I do a lot of like hair tutorials on Zoom. Even when people don't want to come back to the salon just yet, they're okay with me teaching them and guiding them through step-by-step processes on their hair education in hair trimming, hair styling, cutting their kids' hair. So that was actually very beneficial to how we were still we weren't staying afloat, but it was still keeping our community of guests still, you know, were in their minds and they wanted to keep something for themselves to stay safe during this time.
So Sherry, can I just say, you know, I would love for you to give both me and my wife a Zoom lesson because the other night she literally put a rubber band on my head over my ears and then just hacked away.
You got to do something. Oh yeah, I can totally teach her. It's just like definitely step-by-step processes. It's just how I was taught for Vidal Sassoon had such a great foundation of haircutting and it was very meticulous. That's why when I describe how to cut hair for my trainees, they're there for like maybe 3-4 hours just to do one haircut. And it's because all the details count. And when it's a great haircut, that haircut will last you a very long time. Especially during COVID right now, all my clients that are coming in right now, like, Sherry, can you go a little bit shorter? Because we don't know if we're going to be on this shutdown again. So as long as your hair has been growing, you come back to getting a haircut, it's going to be shorter than usual because you really don't know when you even want to come back out.
You know, Sherry, something that I've noticed, maybe I always had a different perspective on hair about how personal it is, but just how frustrated people were by the inability to get that haircut, get their hair styled, because it's such a sign of things being normal. You know, I don't know if you felt the same way, but people really took that very hard. I think of all the things that, you know, really kind of shook them. The idea that they couldn't get their haircut the way they're so used to was really kind of the most like perplexing to them. And it was really interesting. I'm just curious if you had any thoughts around that.
Well, you know, I have one client that says like, you know, he gets his haircut once a month and it's a grooming process. It's cleanliness. It's something that he always did since he was young. So when he found out his wife didn't get her hair done once a month, he was kind of appalled and almost disgusted that like, why don't you get your hair done once a month? I do. So it's more of a, I'd say more for men, it's more grooming. Like you said, it's a more of a normalcy. For women, it's self-care and also therapeutic, not just styling. But it was definitely, I missed it for me, especially. It was more like therapeutic for me too, just to be able to be with my clients and help them with their self-care. It's been a really tough journey. I mean, just sitting down with each individual person was, they felt better again, trying to getting a haircut. They felt some sort of normalcy again. And it's definitely tough. But when I do help my clients online, it's of course not the same, but at least they get something to help them cope through trying to be normal again.
Yeah, absolutely. So why don't you talk a little bit about, you know, the reopening process for you? What have been some of the, I guess some of the biggest challenges in reopening?
Reopening the 6-page protocol is, I mean, it changes every week too.
Yeah. Can you tell everyone about that? You know, that 6-page protocol. What exactly is that?
What that is are particular guidelines to stay safe. For instance, you know, having, you know, making sure everyone has their masks, making sure you tell all of your team members that they have to wear a mask, having their hands sanitized completely. If they are feeling any of the COVID symptoms, which I have to add 3 more symptoms to my COVID symptoms that have changed over time. If they're feeling feverish, if they're coughing, you know, please reschedule your clients, stay home, and here's a place that you can get tested. So that was, you know, it was a bit of an issue for some of my stylists. Some were like, oh, I don't want to wear a mask. Some were like, please tell other people to wear a mask. So I had to set my standard of care just for the Art Form Studio. Even if I abided by all of the protocols, I went a little further and got portable air filters for working stations. I had to make sure I was getting tested just because I knew I was going to get to see other more people. Some people did take their tests and we'd have to take them every 2 weeks just to make sure we're healthy. But it's really because the governor said, okay, you can work like tomorrow. I was on Amazon. I was trying to find everything. I went to Target to find extra masks and hand sanitizers. Mm-hmm. These are extra expenses on top of, you know, everything else that we have to pay for that we had to push back. So it's been tough. I finally got my plexiglass on top of my retail counter. That was probably the only thing I needed to get. But everything else, like having hand sanitizing stations in front of the business at the entrance and at the exit, I had to get a contactless thermometer to check everyone's temperature.
Your stylists, are those employees of yours? Are those independent contractors?
They're all independent contractors. So I still have to provide that for everybody, even if they are independent contractors. On the protocols, it does say that, you know, if you own this business, you should be providing all of this for everyone on your team.
So how do you make sure that they're following all those protocols? I mean, if they're not essentially your employee, you can't really dictate to them like as an employee, but they're operating within your space. How does that work exactly?
I have waivers. I could say they're questionnaires too. Every person has, if they are going to be in their chair, everyone has to sign one and send it to me. So that way, if there is contact tracing, someone had COVID, they would have to either call all the clients and say, hey, you know what? Someone had contracted it from this time to this time, just trying to be safe and contact someone or contact your doctor to get screened or, you know, stay at home for the next 14 days. We haven't had any issues yet. I mean, I'm there almost every day too. So I see people coming in and checking in, getting their temperature checks. I mean, these temperature thermometers, they're not the most accurate, but when someone does come in and they've been waiting outside and they have a cap on, you know, they're going to be hot. So we'd make them just wait a while until like maybe 30 seconds to a minute and their body heat isn't as hot. We'll do it again, but we do make them kind of settle in first and then we check their temperature again.
You know, Sherry, I just appreciate the effort you're putting into this. I think every business needs to do this to both provide confidence to their customers, right? That you're doing everything above and beyond necessary to protect everyone's safety. I mean, I've heard a lot of folks throwing around this is the new normal. I just hope it's the healthy normal. And healthy can mean like all, you know, beyond whatever is the next phase of COVID. And I'd love to hear your thoughts about how you as a business owner are projecting that confidence to customers and not the ones that are coming in the door, because those folks clearly are already there and ready to take those extra measures, but to maybe your other customers who haven't yet made the leap of faith to kind of go back into the world. So what are those strategies that you're doing to reach out to them and exude confidence?
Well, I do tell them that I do have high risk hours too upon request. So that's when right before we open. So I take in clients that either are children, older individuals, people who do take care of their family members that are high risk. So I open up as early as 8 a.m. and I let them know, like, nobody else is coming in. It's just me and you. They even take extra measures in bringing in their own gloves, their own hand sanitizers. I try to make them feel as safe as possible. Sometimes I'll reach out to them and ask them, you know, this is what we're doing. Do you feel comfortable coming? And when you do feel comfortable, this is what I offer. And a lot of them appreciate that. So they've asked to come in actually right before we do open.
That's really great. You know, we've had a few economic development officials, state and kind of regional folks on our show talking about reopening the economy and small businesses. You know, to be honest, recent reports are showing that minority businesses in particular are being disrupted by the pandemic. What do you think are some of the best ways the government can step in and help entrepreneurs at a time like this? And the last thing I'll just say about that, how minority businesses are impacted, is Brookings Institute actually showed that in the economic recession of the 2000s, that minority businesses were impacted hardest, but it was minority businesses that actually got the economy moving again. So kind of with that context, I'm just curious what you would love to see from, you know, our state and our local governments do to support our businesses.
Well, it's really tough because a lot of us are independent contractors. Over time, we did see more help from the government for independent contractors. I just want to see more of it because there's still a lot of help out there just for people who have employees. I try to make sure that, you know, if my team needs help, you know, I just, that some of them are not ready because of course they have, they're getting government assistance. And when they're ready to come back, I'm just, you know, letting them know, like, you know, because you're not back yet, yes, this will affect your business. And what are the steps that you need to take at this moment to pivot your business when you don't have government assistance, or when you do have government assistance, even if you do have it coming back in August, it's just such a big time lapse. How are you going to come back to a workplace where no one can really feel like they can come back yet? I mean, we don't even know what's going to happen in August still, right? So I feel like the government can step it up and offer more government assistance and try to see what other grants are available for us, because it is definitely, it's been tough for me personally. I haven't really had a lot of good experiences right now because I'm an independent contractor. But yeah, I mean, like we just talked about it with talking to Jesse about getting PPE assistance, that would definitely help. Anything helps, really. Anything that can help manage our expenses. You know, we do have a deferment of our rent happening, but, you know, with the economy coming down, what good is deferment going to help me? I have no idea what that's going to do in the next year for me. So it's just every day is different. Every day we ask for certain things. Are we getting them? It's just waiting. We're just waiting. It's all a waiting game.
Yeah, it definitely feels like we're in this strange zone. You know, I talked to my local business owners here in South Pasadena, and it feels like everyone's in this kind of weird, I don't know how to describe it, purgatory kind of limbo. Yeah. Like, you know, they received this initial round of funding from, say, the feds, you know, the PPP program. And now that money is starting to run out. They've reopened cautiously. And, but now, you know, they're burning through PPE, protective equipment for personnel, for employees. And so they're burning through that every day, the gloves, the masks. And so now the worry is like, how are we going to afford all this stockpile every month?
Yeah.
And in addition to that, the idea of like, oh, now I'm going to totally change my business strategy to be able to accommodate people with this plexiglass in front of me. You know, it's just such a unique time. Are you feeling the same way that you're kind of in this strange new world?
Definitely. We were just talking about this with a client of mine. Like we push our life on pause for the last 3 months. And then all of a sudden we came into a different dimension of like, why are we here? How did we get here? But like Sid said, new normal. But for me, it's practice makes progress. Like after this, after the pandemic, how is this going to change our lives? For me, it's actually more therapeutic for me to clean. Like, I mean, we are already a clean salon, but the protocols really state cleaning everything. Everything before every client, sanitizing everything before every client. So that has been my practice before, but thoroughly cleaning it before every client that comes in is definitely such a very, very clean practice. Like I had a stylist with me that was from Japan, and she said, you know, Sherry, like our practice in Japan, cleanliness is what our livelihood is all about. And, you know, if you practice this and put this apart as a part of your everyday life, this is going to keep you healthy. And that I understood it more now going through the coronavirus, that it's very, very something that I want to implement more so even after going through the coronavirus.
Sherry, I wanted to shift gears a little bit and talk about, you know, something else that's happening right now. I mean, in addition to all the COVID-19 pandemic issues, we're going through this very turbulent time. You know, a lot of social unrest, a lot of protests happening in response to the George Floyd murder. And you happen to operate a business in a part of LA, which for those people who don't know, is going through what a lot of people are calling gentrification, rapid change of, you know, economic and demographic kind of profile change, right? And so I wanted to talk a little bit about that and kind of get your experience, see what it's been like for you. I definitely have my own thoughts about it. I was born here in LA. My parents they're both from Mexico, actually the same small town of Mexico. They lived in East LA. We have family that's from Highland Park and friends that have lived there. And so I've seen the dramatic change. And in many ways, I've always viewed it as positive, you know, but I know things are, you know, just like everything else, very complicated, very complex. And we'd just love to kind of hear your perspective. You know, one, what do you think about that word gentrification, right? How are you operating in that kind of unusual, fast changing world? And how are you adapting as a business owner?
When we did move into Highland Park, you know, I didn't know how our business was going to be. I mean, I knew I had a good opportunity to have a storefront, an actual storefront moving into Highland Park. When I was walking around Highland Park before I opened up the business, I saw a lot of my clients walking around. I saw around Highland Park already. So a lot of them lived in the area, but not really stayed in their area to spend time in their area at that time yet. So me moving in, I felt like, okay, I think this is my new home. I feel like my friends that lived in Highland Park are still living in like the surrounding parts of Highland Park can come to Highland Park again and feel like it's, they can put back into what they really wanted to as they were growing up. Cause it was really difficult in Highland Park when they were growing up. They couldn't stay there. It was just nothing was around. Having a business like the Artform Studio, we welcome all people to come in and experience what it is to be a part of a community. It's definitely, it was hard for other people to see that. Not a lot of people knew who I am and who my husband is. Us being Black and Filipino owner of the Artform Studio, it's, I think maybe the younger generation didn't know who we really were. So they didn't feel like we should be in Highland Park or had felt that are we even a part of their community, which I do have events that I do work on and in the past where we do involve a lot of local organizations, nonprofit organizations that we donate to and bring into the Artform Studio to hold small community events. That's something that I've always liked doing, even when we were in, when we moved into Chinatown first in the Arts District and now here in Highland Park. My kids dance for a nonprofit organization called Culture Shock. It's to bring kids together through hip hop dancing and, you know, just respect one another through the arts. And I've invited Las Fotos, that is a community of photographers, young lady photographers that are in the area. So it's, we work with local nonprofit organizations that we welcome. And being Filipino, I always felt growing up that I didn't really have a place that I would always fit into. But when you step into Artform Studio, if you always felt you couldn't fit anywhere, you can feel like Artform Studio would be your home. Something that we strive on.
You know, it's funny that you say that, Sherry, because I think that's like the way to that kind of culture and environment is what welcomes young people into a space to actually become part of their community. And I thought it was interesting that you said that young people were not as accepting at first. So how has that changed, if it has changed, you know, now that you're kind of established?
Well, it's funny that once we had said, take a look at what we've done in the past, if you have any other questions, please contact us personally. Because there was, you know, some online questioning our community involvement and what we do. Because there were maybe a younger generation than us. Like me and my husband are in our 40s now, so maybe it was like the 20 to 30 year olds not understanding where we came from. I think after they saw what we did within our type of community, it kind of backed them off and said, oh, okay, so they are doing some things in the community that help shape for the better for younger, you know, for the youth. Like, I always work with a lot of youth programs, and I think maybe because they were from Highland Park, they wanted to make sure, are you promoting yourself at Franklin High School? Are you going to Burbank Junior High and offering like your community services? I always invite them to a lot of these events that I personally do called the Art Forms of Yesterday. And what the Art Forms of Yesterday is, they are hair care session events that through hair history and certain decades, we focus on different social justice issues and we support local organizations to be involved. So those are ways that I have been doing these sessions to invite everyone in the community to come in and share what we know.
Part of me wonders if the reason why the younger generation may be having a different reaction is they don't really fully understand the history of a, you know, a community like Highland Park, where, you know, when I remember in the late 90s, they had an extremely high, you know, homicide rate, you know.
Yeah.
And I wonder if their perspective is of, you know, their experience growing up is very different from maybe those of us that, you know, grew up in the 90s and just had a very different reality understanding. And so when we see change coming, you know, we tend to view it through maybe rose colored glasses, right? And then maybe they have a very different perspective as far as how people are tied into the community and what that means to them. So it's just really interesting kind of hearing you say that the younger generation may be having a, you know, a few more issues than maybe some of us who are a little bit older and just have a different view of how the change is happening.
Yeah. I think it's like, maybe they're just focused on what's on trend of what's going on with their generation. Maybe I'm not on trend. You know, we're kind of like very much on the history of style and music. So maybe there's other issues that they feel need more help when it comes to community involvement. But lately we haven't had any issues with community involvement. I know a lot of our neighbors have definitely been pointed fingers on about, you know, Black Lives Matter or being a part of the community. And, you know, I think my husband is the only Black owner on our block, really. And when there was the riots happening, we were like, oh, you know, we're just going to ride it out. We're not going to board up. We're going to stand up and be with our community and ride it out. If there was a riot, for me and my perspective was, you know, you can repair and replace items, but you can't take back these Black lives. So if we're a part of this movement, we're just going to keep going.
That's such a great statement, actually, Sherry. And I guess I'm really curious if you could just share with us, you know, like, we're all, like, any business owner is like our child, right? Like, that's kind of, we're growing. And I'm wondering what you are hoping for or what you're planning for, which is next for the Art Form Studio.
What's next for us is, my husband is involved with a lot of programming himself and working on different campaigns. And for him, his recent campaign for this company was, are you a part of the movement or are you just part of the moment? And for us, sharing the history of social injustices, we incorporate them into our work. For me, hair made a statement in the 70s. And I think we're all making statements now. We're kind of being forced to make the statement of having long hair and big afros and all of that after the civil rights movement. The statement of having long natural hair was going against the norm. And so right now, the next thing for us is to keep sharing what we've been sharing. And because I think back, you know, a couple year or two, no one was really listening. And now people are listening. Other companies are listening. Other companies want to be involved. Other companies want to do better. They want to know more. And knowing the history of what we've gone through will definitely educate them. And that's what's next for the Art Form Studio, is to keep educating.
I love that. You know, it reminds me of, so my dad had his own hair salon for many years in the Mission Hills in the San Fernando Valley. And the name of the shop was called the Hair Lib, like liberated, you know, very much a take on, you know, the 70s and the 60s kind of movements there. And I always thought that was, I mean, it took me, I have to say this, it took me a while to appreciate the name, right? Because at first I didn't get it. But now I really understand after, you know, just the idea that your hair is a symbol of you, right? I mean, it's the, literally the first thing people see. It's a statement. You know, my nephews came over in a socially distant kind of way. They came over to our house and my oldest nephew, his hair is out of control, you know, like this be real kind of like afro. And I loved it. I was like, oh man, that's awesome. Like, I want to see that. I want to see you get the hair pick. I want to see it plucked out. It's such a statement, you know. So I appreciate, you know, the, what you're doing. And also want to mention that I guess you and I also have a connection with Culture Shock, you know, cause my friend Ira M. Hussein has been part of that group for a very long time. And his friend Arnell, who is, you know, one of the co-founders there. I appreciate your thoughts around how, you know, bringing in that kind of artistry, right, to the shop and thinking about how do you meld it all together? Because I think the arts, the, you know, dance is going to play such a big part in bringing us all back together, you know, and I think that's part of what's been missing, you know, the inability for us to connect, let's say a concert or in a DJ experience, right, on the dance floor, that's really been limiting us. So I'm excited to hear that you guys are moving in that direction.
Yeah, we are. I mean, we have something called the Art Form Radio, and that is broadcasted every Thursday from 12 p.m. to 8 p.m., and that's on worldwidefm.net. So it's been streaming since January. Of course, before the pandemic, DJs were in-house live streaming at the Artform Studio from 12 to 8. Now it's more like we've just been doing pre-recordings and having them just stream it on certain days, actually on Thursdays. So it's been really refreshing to see that still happening.
I wanted to ask, you know, for young people who are looking to follow into your footsteps, or seeking to pledge to entrepreneurship, you know, what's your advice for them?
My advice for them is that, especially when it's in a service field, you really have to have patience for people. That's a big part of being in the service industry and being flexible, being open, listening to their thoughts and understanding what their wants and needs are and telling them, explaining to them what and how you should go about what you need or want to get done. For the younger generation that I've been interviewing some people now, and I really look at their portfolio. I look at their Instagrams. I see, okay, are you ready to take on other types of services with hair? Are you ready to do textured hair? Are you ready to do different types of services? And if your Instagram doesn't show that you have a type of specialty, it's not going to help you. So I've been telling a lot of people that I'm interviewing, that's something that you really have to work on is your social media engagement, social media postings, things that you want to do is what you will be receiving in services. So that's what I would tell a lot of my trainees, actually.
So, Sherry, this is the time in the show where we like to ask a question from one of our listeners. This one is actually coming from James in Riverside. Many small businesses are struggling to keep on top of all the changing protocols and keeping motivated during this hectic time. I like this question specifically because of the motivated piece here, and it sounds like you're a very motivating individual. So what advice do you have for them?
For them, how to keep motivated is, you know, just really set schedules every day. If you don't really have a schedule every day, you kind of veer off and just don't know what else to do. Like with my 5-point priorities, it really helps me stay motivated and keep on a schedule. Because if you don't have a proper schedule, you don't get results done. Your intentions to get things done is to really go through all of the processes that you want to get done. So yeah, that's how I stay motivated, is just to really get a schedule going.
Sherry, what's the best way for people to reach you and to learn more about Artform Studio, to schedule an appointment? What's the best way they can get in touch with you?
Really, it's Instagram. It's at @the_artform_studio. And my personal one, for those of you out there that want to learn more about how I run my business and how my business practices are, you can personally reach me on my other Instagram. It's at Sherry Young. So it's SHERRYYOUNGE. The email address would be sherryyoung@theartformstudio.com. That's my email address. And going to our website, you'll find more about us at theartformstudio.com. And Instagram has been such a really great tool right now, especially during the pandemic. It's been the quickest way to get to me, actually.
Well, we really appreciate you taking time out of, you know, always a very busy day to be with us. I know you've given Sid hopefully the confidence to go and finally get his haircut. Because he
or
does.
Or you can go online.
Oh yeah, go online
and get that education going.
That's yeah,
right.
I'd love
to
see that.
Past the rubber band. I got to get past the rubber band.
Yeah, I would love to see that, Sid. I would love to see you try to do your own haircut. I think that would make my day. Sherry, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much, guys. I really appreciate it. I love all the tools that you guys share, and I'm definitely going to keep following. It's definitely given me a lot of perspective on, you know, running my small business. I need to really open up to a lot of the other resources that you guys are giving. So really, I thank you guys.
Thank you, Sherry. If you are a California business owner seeking out resources and support, please visit our website, COVID-19BizTools.com, which provides a comprehensive listing of grants, programs, and services for COVID-19 impacted businesses. You can also visit COVID-19BizTools.com to let us know what topics you'd like us to cover. Just reach out to us on the contact page on the website. Have a great day, and we'll catch you next time on Hack My Business.